So what's your favorite dessert? Favorite dessert. Last month, my wife and I were visiting her family in Arkansas, and on the last night together, we all went out to eat. And we had a great time together, and I drove separately because I had been tooling around town all day long, and when dinner was over, they hopped up in the car, and they were going home to play British canasta or something, I don't know, and I'm deficient in British canasta, so I didn't go back to play British canasta. I love Little Rock, and so I thought, man, it's my last night here. I'm going to do another spin around town. So I went spinning around town, and about an hour later, as always happens with me, I was hungry again. I mean, I wanted something else to eat, so I went back to the exact same restaurant that we left and decided I was going to try their carrot cake. Now, I was told that the carrot cake was a recipe handed down from the owner's grandmother. So that got me excited immediately. This is going to be good stuff. And then they closed maybe 9 or 9:30, and I think I was there maybe 30 minutes before closing. So I think they brought me the last piece of the night. And the reason I say that is because when she put the plate down on the table, it was the old 96er of carrot cake. It was the most amazing. It was a slab of one layer carrot cake and at least a gravy boat worth of icing just poured over the top, just spilling out anywhere. And it was warm. I mean, warm and wonderful. And I started eating that, and I took one bite, and I thought, this is probably the best dessert I've ever had in my life. Very least, my top two. And in that moment, I was reminded of the old proverb. I think it was spoken by philosopher Lotany Fratelli, and it goes like this. Life is uncertain. Eat dessert first. I mean, this is a brilliant thing. If you've never done it, try it. Get dessert first. You may not even want to eat anything else that night. Dessert will be enough. Life is uncertain, right? I mean, just think about something you prayed about just a moment ago. Is there something uncertain in your life right now? I mean, all we have to do is look around. From finances to farming, from government to groceries, from sports to jorts. I mean, there's lots of uncertainty in the world right now. So besides eating dessert first, is there anything that can help us in moments of uncertainty? Is there anything that can really sneak into that moment, whatever that moment is, and help us when things feel uncertain? Yes, there is. And just a reminder, things have always been uncertain. There's never been a time where things were not uncertain. And there's never been a time where one powerful reality has not always been true. One reality that has the ability to calm our hearts and our minds, our spirits, our souls, and even expand our joy in the middle of seasons and moments of uncertainty. So what is that reality? Well, let's find out together. The title of our sermon today is called Certain Matters. And we're going to be looking in the Bible at John chapter 17, verse 12. Now, what's happening in John 17, verse 12? Well, Jesus is about to be arrested, tortured, and crucified. And what is he doing before that happens? Well, we find him praying for his disciples, praying for his closest friends. And what is he praying? Well, here's part of his prayer that he is praying to God the Father. Verse 12. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me. From the moment that Jesus called the disciples, he was keeping the disciples. Keeping them how? Well, he says here that he was keeping them in your name. In other words, what Jesus was doing was trying to keep his disciples focused on, moving toward, believing in, remembering, clinging to the glory and the truth of God. The word here for keeping is a word that means restraint. The picture here is that Jesus is graciously pressing his disciples to not be overwhelmed, to not give in to the fears and the worries, the pride of whatever the uncertainties of the world were at that moment. Rather, he was trying to get them to stay focused on the glory and the truth of God. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 91, verse 1, "One who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will lodge in the shadow of the Almighty." This is amazing language. This is a good verse for you to memorize this week. One who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will lodge in the shadow of the Almighty. Dwelling in the shelter of the Most High is safer, more secure, more certain than the shelter of any political party, the shelter of any religious denomination, the shelter of any job, any career, any retirement plan, any diet, any exercise, any anti-aging medicine. Mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and one day physically, to dwell in the shelter of the Most High God is the greatest place in the universe to dwell. The psalmist goes on to say this, and to lodge in the shadow of the Almighty. Whether it's the threat of tariffs or the uncertainty of the housing market or whether or not this really is the last Mission Impossible movie, there are lots and lots and lots of shadows in the world today. Shadows of uncertainty. But to lodge in the shadows of the Almighty, the shadow of the Almighty, is not to lodge somewhere uncertain, but to lodge somewhere certain. To fall under the shadow of Almighty God means to be near the Almighty God. It means that there is no distance between you and God. The shadow of the Almighty is the greatest, most powerful security blanket that you could ever have in your life. Mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and one day, physically, there is nothing greater than to lodge in the shadow of the Most High Almighty God. That's kind of how Jesus is praying here when he says, keeping them in your name, keeping them focused on dwelling with and lodging with the Most High Almighty God. And that doesn't mean he stopped after this prayer. It's not as if Jesus is praying, you know, God, I've been keeping them until now, but you know, now I'm going to be crucified and I won't be able to keep them anymore. No, not at all. Charles Spurgeon put it this way, Christ has always kept his people. He still keeps his people, and he will keep his people forever. The sheep shall be delivered into the hand of the Father in full number. There shall not be one of them missing in that day. Not one. Dear Christian, that is the promise of your life. It doesn't matter what tariff affects your life. It doesn't matter what the housing market does. It doesn't matter what law is passed or not passed. It doesn't matter what the doctor says. There is not one that will be missing. This is our God. And we dwell and we lodge in his shadow, in his comfort, in his power. Not one will be missing. Listen, there is no political party, there is no religious denomination, there's no job, no career, no retirement plan, no anti-aging medicine that can promise that. Only the promises found in the blood of Jesus Christ that have been guaranteed by the Most High Almighty God. That is for certain. And certain matters. Listen to what Jesus prays next in verse 12. and I guarded them. He didn't just keep them and restrain them from being overwhelmed with anger or fear or arrogance or worry or any other thing. He also was guarding them. This is different from being restrained with truth. This is being protected by truth. What kind of truth? The truth of the promises of God in Jesus Christ. Truth that cannot fade. Truth that cannot be removed. See, we're not here today just to be good Baptists. We're not here today just to be religious Americans. We're here today as a simple reminder that without Christ, we are desperately lost and without hope in this world. But with Christ, we have every reason to be of great cheer because Jesus has overcome this world. When I was a younger lad, I played Recreation League basketball. And one year, our coach taught us two things over and over and over again. One was the West Virginia bank shot. It was just a thing, and we had to learn it, and he never missed it. So we learned the West Virginia bank shot, and the other thing was we learned how to block out. I mean, over and over and over again, we learned how to block out. Now, to block out means this, that you get yourself between an opposing team member and the goal so that when the ball is shot, you can maximize your opportunities to grab the rebound and get the ball. And we practice that over and over and over. Why? Because it is one of the best ways to help your team. While he was on this earth, Jesus was blocking out the disciples from danger. He was trying to help them see that he was there to guard them and protect them. But what kind of danger? Mental danger, emotional danger, spiritual danger, even at times, physical danger. Now, I say at times because sometimes God protects us from physical danger, right? That car doesn't come into the lane and hit us. The wreck is avoided. The tornado takes a different turn and goes a different direction. The tests come back from the doctor and they're clear. But sometimes that doesn't happen. And either way, no matter how things turn out, this prayer from Jesus is a reminder that a Christian is always guarded. A Christian is always protected. How? Because in the deepest part of who we are, in our souls, in our spirits, and in a certain sense, the everlasting sense, even in our bodies, we are always protected and we are always guarded by God's truth. Apostle Paul said it this way to the folks in Rome, Romans 14, verse 8. For if we live, we live for the Lord. Or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Salvation in Jesus Christ is not just intended to try to help us be a kinder person or a better person or a more helpful person or a more religious person. Salvation in Jesus Christ is designed to help us see that we are guarded no matter what uncertainty comes our way. That we are protected no matter what uncertainty comes our way. Whether it is the mountaintop highs of some wonderful experience, or whether it is the valley of the shadow of death, or whether it is death itself. The promise of the gospel in and through Jesus Christ, guaranteed by the power of God, is that we are always guarded, we are always protected. To be guarded by Jesus Christ means that you are the Lord's. Today, tomorrow, always, and forever. It cannot change. To borrow from Spurgeon, Christ has always guarded his people. He still guards his people, and he will guard his people forever. Jesus affirms this in the next part of his prayer. Look at verse 12. And not one of them perished except the son of destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Now, if you really break this down, this is a very interesting thing for Jesus to be praying, right? And this is what he is saying to God in his prayer. Not one of them perish except the son of destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. You see, there was one who was not being kept and not being guarded because they had not truly received God's truth. As Jesus was praying this prayer, Judas was off collecting his bribe money, set to betray Jesus, even as Jesus prayed. Someone once said Judas wore the uniform, but he was not truly part of the team. And you know, it's scary and frightening how easy that can be. How easy it can be to be a part of a local church and yet not be a true part of the family of God. So we would plead with you to settle this question. Are you truly in Christ? Or are you just at church or just in church? Which is it? Jesus was praying for his disciples, and don't miss what he just prayed. And not one of them perished. That's an astounding prayer. That's an astounding reality. Again, we borrow Spurgeon's words. We could say Christ has always made sure that his people did not perish. He still makes sure his people do not perish, and he will make sure his people will not perish forever. And this isn't just a prayer that Jesus was praying just for his disciples. This is a prayer that applies to anyone who would follow after Jesus. So if you're a Christian, put your name in the blanks here. Make sure you make a connection with what's happening. This is a very personal prayer. You should love and own this prayer. In your moments of uncertainty, you should make sure that this prayer gets into your mind, that you are kept, that you are guarded, that you will not perish. This prayer from Jesus is fantastic news for you right now, no matter what uncertainty you may face. And listen, we all face a lot of different uncertainties, right? Some of you are facing some very serious uncertainties. Some of you maybe not so serious, but we all face uncertainties in life. Why should this prayer from Jesus be fantastic news for you in the middle of uncertainty? Because according to the truth of Jesus, you will not and you cannot perish. That sounds crazy, right? Will you die? Yes. Will you perish? No. That is the promise of the cross. That's the promise of the empty tomb. That is the promise of the risen Savior. And no matter who's in office, no matter what laws are passed or not passed, there is absolutely nothing that can break the promise found in Jesus Christ. A believer cannot perish. More than 400 years ago, one Englishman put it this way: this is our safety. No man's condition so sure as ours. That's an astounding confidence, right? This is our safety. This is our security. This is our certainty. No man, no woman's condition is as safe as ours. Whether someone has fantastic health, whether they have all the money in the world, whether they have all the friends in the world, no matter how many people are following them on social media, no one, no one is as safe as the Christian. No one has the security of the one who is following Jesus. Safe and sure and secure. That's what it means to be a Christian. Only one person in the universe can make that promise, fulfill that promise, and guarantee that promise. And his name is Jesus. Being certain, it matters. Are you certain? Are you certain of what you have with God in Jesus? Not do you know it in your head. Not just can you give a date that you prayed a prayer or that you joined the church or you got baptized, but are you certain? Is it a part of your very next breath that you will not perish because of Jesus? If so, that is a tremendous confidence in the moments of uncertainty. The words of an old hymn are a real spirit booster. It goes like this: the soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake. Have you felt like hell's been endeavoring to shake you lately? Is there something happening in your life that's been shaking you a lot more than you want? That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. That is the promise of God, the promise of the Almighty, the promise of the Most High, not as some vague religious promise, but that is a promise that has been found and guaranteed in the person of Jesus Christ, in his birth, in his life, in his crucifixion, in his resurrection, in his ascension. The promises of God are found in Jesus. So what does that look like in real life? On September 26, 1918, the United States Army launched the Meuse-Argonne offensive against the German armies. It was not just the largest offensive of World War I, it was one of the largest offensive attacks in all of American military history. Oliver was part of the 140th Infantry in that offensive. And about 100 years later, his granddaughter found a letter that he had wrote to his mom and dad 2 days before that massive military movement. This is part of his letter. Dear father and mother, I'm writing just before what will probably be the greatest military activity the world has ever seen. There are lots of interesting things might be told, but I'll tell you all about it when I get back home. We're going forward, and no orders to retreat can possibly be official. Germany has repeatedly sent men into the Allied ranks perfectly disguised as Allied officers, speaking English or French perfectly, to order a retreat. The only way to overcome that is to have it understood that our forces will never retreat. Then he goes on. This is going to be a great fight, but the fight for Christianity and our forces is the one which includes all other great causes. You don't know how glad I am that I'm in that fight primarily. And this is how he closes his letter. Don't worry about me. Even if you hear our regiment has been in it, I'm in the Lord's hand. Much, much love, Oliver. Those are words from someone who was certain. Certain they were being kept. Certain they were being guarded. Certain that even if they died in war, they would never perish. Being certain matters. So, with Oliver's thought in mind, and in light of the birth and the life and the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus, the question for all of our hearts at any given moment is simply this: are you certain? And if so, then there is no uncertainty we will ever face that can ever change the promises of God in Jesus Christ. We are kept. We are guarded. We will not perish. Thanks be to God. Glory be to Jesus.